to me, having a high priority, valuing the key number, any number in the NFL, but the key numbers especially, and not betting when you get the worst of it, is probably the best advice I could give of a simple way to start betting more like a pro.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio.
One of the great regular season games in recent memory saw the Rams beat the Chiefs in a shootout 54-51 last night. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the highest scoring Monday night football game ever?
Yeah, true. And one of the highest scoring NFL games. You know, I want to pull back the curtain a little bit on the radio show because everybody knows radio has commercials. Radio is 10-minute chunks of information. And it's always a balance, especially with a show like Straight Out of Vegas, which is 1 hour only. And I love that, actually. Why? Because every day we got more than enough good information, more than enough stuff we want to get to. One of the things we're planning on soon is having overtime on the podcast. So with the podcast, you'll be able to get anything you missed, but then there might be 10, 12 minutes of overtime exclusive. That should be fun. But it's always a balance between do we do 10 topics and go 2 inches deep, or do we do 5 topics and go 4 inches deep, or some combination. This is going to be a rare thing. I want to take the whole first segment and break this game down because I think it was fascinating as a game, but I think it's even more important, this Monday night game, as a sign of where the NFL is in 2018. And if you're a fan or if you're a bettor, both, doesn't matter. Understanding where the league is will help you enjoy the league or, quite frankly, make money from the NFL. So, Fez, let me ask you this. Of all the things you saw on Monday night, what was your biggest takeaway?
I think we've got to talk about the total that went 42 points over the highest posted total we've seen in the Super Bowl era, RJ. So the total 63, they score 105 points. And what I saw is two offenses that couldn't be stopped and two defenses that look like their priority was more to get turnovers and to make aggressive plays, knowing that they were unable to stop the opponent.
Now, when you say couldn't be stopped, I think, and I get it, right? That's kind of a cliche, but I don't think that's what happened. How many punts did they have?
There were 7 punts.
Okay. Now, before the game, could you have bet on over, under a number, certain number of punts?
You could. It was 6.5.
Okay. So let me think about this a second. Wait, that's more punts than we expected. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. So couldn't be stopped, more punts than expected. Explain.
Couldn't be stopped, maybe a generality. Let's say very...
that's a generous generality.
Correct.
So what we're saying here is the offenses were super high pace, right? Because if you think about scoring, it's always going to be a combination of how many possessions you have and how many points per possession. So imagine if you score a touchdown every time, but you have 5 possessions... And then you can figure out the math. Oh, you only score 70% of the time, but you got 10 possessions. Well, you're going to win. You're going to score more, even though you don't score as efficiently. So scoring is about efficiency plus possessions. Agreed?
I do.
Monday Night Football, that was a fantastic game. If you bet the over, we talked about it yesterday. I, being not as sharp of a bettor because I'm awful at it as RJ and the rest of the guys, my thinking going in was, oh, you've got to fade the over. You've got to fade the over-under. But instead, RJ was spot on again. It's why he makes money at this, and I do not. I would have taken the under. RJ would have taken the over, and of course he got paid.
Well, remember, Jonas, is we did. I felt so ambivalent, and that was very kind, but I felt so ambivalent about the over because to me, I felt like, and history tells us that the overs do exceptionally well in these super high totaled games. In fact, and this is history over 30 NFL seasons, there's been now 15 games with a total 58 or above. And we actually have one this weekend coming up on Thursday, Falcons Saints is at 60 right now. But 15 prior, 12 overs, 3 unders. Now, your instinct yesterday, Jonas, is mine in a way, which is we know the public tends to overreact. Oh, my gosh, there's going to be so much scoring. Thus, you'd think there'd be a premium on the over, and thus value would be on the under, right? Okay, the number was 64. Maybe it should be 61. That difference is the public overreacting, and thus long-term, unders would win on the super high total. No. I think what's going on is a combination of what we were talking about a minute ago, Fez, which is the idea that there's so many possessions. And let me be specific about what I meant just a minute ago. If you have, how many turnovers was it? Was it six?
Seven turnovers.
If you have seven turnovers and more punts, you had 14 possessions without a score, right? If you punt seven times and turn the ball over seven times, you've got 14 combined offensive possessions without a score. Agree?
Agree.
In a given game, if I had to say over, under, how many offensive possessions are going to be without a score, what would you say the average NFL game would be?
13.
How'd you know that? Is that a number you know?
Well, punts are normally like 10, and then turnovers 2.5 to 3.
I mean, listen, Fez, sometimes people are like, RJ, you're too hard on Fez. And it's like, he's got so much talent. We so just want to get that information out there.
He's been like f***ing brain surgeon.
And that was one of the great moments that he came up with that number.
It's unbelievable.
Instantly. So what you're telling me is one of the highest scoring games of all time had more than an average number of offensive possessions that didn't result in a score.
Yes.
So what could it be, Fez?
Pace.
Number of possessions, right? So however we think about, so imagine if they had a super efficient game, like with no turnover. Now, again, the flip side is that the turnovers on occasions led to scores, you know, directly.
Yeah, there were 3 defensive touchdowns, so surely.
Exactly. So to me, it goes to show you that it's so difficult with these super elite teams, offensive teams in the NFL, to stop them, that the ability to have high impact defensive plays, right? Interceptions returned for a touchdown, strip sacks. That is what maybe makes a great defense against these teams. The Ravens, if they're playing the Jets, yeah. Jets don't have a great offense. They don't even have an average offense. The old school way of playing defense still works. But let's think about the best offenses in the NFL. If I said these are the clearly best offenses, Kansas City, New Orleans, Los Angeles Rams. Does that sound right?
Good.
Okay. These teams combined have lost 4 games this season. Kansas City 2. In those games, they scored 51 points in the loss, 40 points in the loss, Kansas City. Saints, 1 loss, 40 points. Rams, 1 loss, 35 points. So if you have the 3 elite offenses and in 4 losses they score 51, 40, 40, and 35, you're not beating them because you stopped them. You're beating them because there's one play somewhere in that game that there's a pressure, tip pass, linebacker returns it for a touchdown. Now that's almost like 2 scores because, hey, if you're scoring almost every time and you get and it's kind of a 14-point swing, it's hard to come back from that.
It's almost like a tennis match. You're breaking serve when you somehow
against
keep
like
them.
A Sampras. That's,
right?
That's a great analogy. Fez is hot today.
Yeah, he is.
Great. And that, so here's my point. We can debate the play timeout management at the end of games. We can debate game management in general, and I heard a lot of that today. But if there was just one less impact play, if one of those returns for a touchdown that the Rams had didn't happen, Kansas City wins, right?
Yes.
Likely. You never know if one thing happens. So to me, there's 2 takeaways in a macro sense. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, wrapping up what I consider to be one of the most important games of the last 5 years about where the NFL is, this Monday night game. And it's amazing to think they had more possessions in an average game without a score So we know it's all about the number of possessions, pace, and we know it's so hard for these defenses to really stop these teams that the impact plays matter on defense, not so much, hey, can you stop the run on a third and one? Yeah, that sounds like it'd be nice, but it doesn't seem to work.
Well, and NFL owners are knowing this. Now, who you pay? You pay your pass rushers and you pay your shutdown corners on defense now.
Yeah, and I think, and I'm not sure about the shutdown corners anymore, right? I think even a couple years ago you saw that, but we saw in the safety market and the cornerback market a lot softer, but getting that pressure, because remember that last play from Mahomes, what was it? You know, or the two possessions at the end that Kansas City didn't score, a lot of it was about pressure on Mahomes. And if you look at Kansas City, New Orleans, and the Rams, they're going to score. And they're the three best teams in the NFL.
Yes. New Orleans clearly my number one, though.
The fourth best team and fifth, most people would agree. And Fez, you agree? The Patriots and the Steelers. Think about this. 1, 2, and 3, Kansas City, Saints, and the Rams all are going to pretty much score every game. 4 and 5 are the only two other teams, New England and Pittsburgh, that on a given Sunday, that isn't some exception, rather just a good game, not a great game, Pittsburgh can put up 50, New England can put up 50. And then there's no other team in that conversation. But what a coincidence. The five best offenses in the NFL are the five best teams in the NFL. Fez, seems like defense wins championships. Probably not the case in 2018.
It's a whole new world, I agree.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
RJ, you have talked about this before when it comes to the NFL, and there's a number that is one of the most important numbers when it comes to betting, and that number is 3. How much of an impact does that have weekly on NFL games around the league?
Well, listen, we've seen, it's almost like, you know how like there's people that believe strongly in climate change, or they believe strongly in rights for this group or that group. And you know, a lot of really righteous people there. Imagine if there was someone that was so adamant about key numbers in the NFL. The last 5 days of NFL games on the featured key games on Thursday and Monday, especially, would have been an advertisement for key numbers. So on Wednesday last week, 6 days ago, we gave an early best bet Thursday night, Seattle -2.5. Line went up to 3 on Thursday. On Thursday, Straight Out of Vegas, we said, you know something? We've bet this, Fez and I, it's in our pocket at 2.5. It's now a lean. Because Seattle, 3 is such a key number. Well, what happens, Fez?
Lands right on the 3.
We cash. Many others don't. Then yesterday, I gave out as a Monday night best bet. I said, listen, I still like this. This was a rare case. I like this game so much. But we had played it and talked about it on different venues. And even on Straight Out of Vegas, it wasn't an official best bet at that point yet. We talked about we loved Kansas City at 3.5. So this is coming at the other direction. The underdog at 3.5 falls 3, even with 100-plus points scored. Guys, listen, in the NFL, if you win, you're betting numbers and losers bet teams. That's the most important thing you got to realize. It's not about teams. It's about numbers. And 3, as Jonas said, is the most key number in the NFL. If a game has a spread around 3, the favorite wins by exactly 3, like last night, like Thursday, almost 10% of the time. And Fez, on Sunday night, the other TV game, it almost happened again.
And this is the one that I lost, RJ. I bet the Vikings +3, and they're down 5 going for a 2-point conversion. That had a 50% chance to also land on 3.
Yeah, because you make that 2 half the time, and then we would have had a 3 again, which, again, that was a tough number to get. We got it. I lost with you, but we would have pushed. But if you have 2.5, there was no pushing. There was no winning.
Drawing dead.
You were that's a good way to think about it. Drawing dead. So to me, guys, listen, the most common question I get, RJ, they say, I have a job. I want to bet smarter. I want to win more, but I can't do it exactly like a pro. I can't do it fully like a pro. But how can I find that middle ground? And to me, having a high priority, valuing the key number, any number in the NFL, but the key numbers especially, and not betting when you get the worst of it, is probably the best advice I could give of a simple way to start betting more like a pro.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on Tiger versus Phil?
Well, listen, Fez, again, this is a Fez love fest. He gave on the weekend edition of Straight Outta Vegas. By the way, there still is a best of weekend edition, 11 o'clock Pacific, Saturday night on Fox. You can listen to it. Bernie Fratto hosting. Fez, on that show, you gave out Tiger Woods to win at what odds?
Minus 140.
140. Now, Tiger Woods up to minus 200. So right now, Vegas is saying about a 2-3 chance the Tiger wins, a 1-3 chance the Phil wins. I'll be honest, I still like Tiger at minus 200. Here's why. I don't love it. Maybe a little pizza money. I'd rather have the 140. I don't. You can give me some of that, Fez, if you want. We'll talk after the show. Here's why, though. If you look at the last two majors, the British and the PGA, and you add up everyone's scores, so you might say, well, what does that matter? I think it matters more. Because if you have two golf courses and eight rounds of golf against the best in the world, all trying their hardest, isn't that more important than one golf course in four rounds? At least more telling? Maybe not more important because you don't get a trophy. You don't get a major. Well, you add up those scores. Tiger Woods had the very best score of all the players. So over the two last tournaments that really mattered last year, the two majors, Tiger Woods was the best golfer in the world. I don't think the question anymore is when is Tiger back. It's the fact he is back. That proves it. Phil, he's not back. So I like Tiger even at minus 200.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.